does look empty. Maybe I should just come down there. Should I? That's all right. Well, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. First of all, I'd like to say it's good to be back. We've been gone for not quite 2 weeks. I forget how long. But anyway, we had a great time. We were up at my wife's parents have a cabin upstate Pennsylvania and just relaxed for about 4 or 5 days up there and then come back to Lancaster and caught up with just a bunch of our friends. So that's what we were doing. And we had looked forward to that for quite some time and were finally able to do that. So it was a great time of just chilling, just relaxing. Didn't have no responsibilities while I was up there, and so it felt good to just be able to relax in that way. And I just, yeah, glad we were able to do that. This morning, I had two things running through my head, and I had prepared kind of for two different messages, but I believe after I heard the singing and just even as I saw the amount of people here, we want to do a time of blessing this morning. I think we're going to just take time to, I want to go through some verses and share about blessing, what it means to bless someone. And we're going to take time then in the end to do that. You know, one thing I talk about as I do seminars and as you share in messages, and you can sit in church all your life, but if you don't put it into practice, it means nothing. It absolutely means, it's just like taking a computer and downloading things on a computer and never using it. It's worthless. It don't do anything. It just sits there. So if you would, you can turn with me to Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis 12. Verses 1 through 3. And in my Bible, it's called God Promises a Nation to Abram and the Call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's households and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And I want you to catch, the thing I want to point out there is to recognize that God wants to bless. He's the one that's going to bless ultimately. He's the one that wants blessing. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. So through the power of His words, the world came to be. And we can't even begin to comprehend all that. How in the world could He speak and all of a sudden, here we have all this? But we're not called to necessarily comprehend it or be able to figure it all out. Theologians, scientists have been trying for years to figure that kind of stuff out, but we are called to believe it. We are called to believe that when He spoke the world into existence. And if you think about it, I will bless those who bless you. As you have a call from God, and you all are called, as you are born-again Christians, you are all were called by God. No one can come to Christ except He is called by God. So as you're called by God, I want you to think about that. I will bless those then who bless you. Do we go demand a blessing from someone? No. No, but as you are a blessing, you will be blessed. That's the concept. As you bless others, you will be blessed. And I want you to think about it here. Abraham, how old, does anybody want to take a guess? How old do you think Abraham was when he was called to this journey? Anyone? How old was 75 years old. Imagine that, 75 years old when he got called to this journey. I don't know why, when I looked that up, that blew my mind because I just pictured him as a young guy heading out into life and just tearing it up, and you know, he got called into this here. He was 75 years old when he got called to this journey. Most times in America, people are retired by the time they're 75. But he was 75 when he started that journey, and God was promising him all these blessings. And he says, the whole world will be blessed through you. We're never finished. We're not finished. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. And we're going to go back to Genesis then, but to Deuteronomy 33. And this is where Moses was blessing the tribes of Israel. He was blessing the tribes. And we're not going to go through every one of them, but I just have a few of them picked out here. If you turn to Deuteronomy 33, we'll look at verse 1. Okay, Okay, it says Moses here blesses the tribes. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. And I want to look at verse 8. And it says about Levi, he said, then he's got a list of things he said, but I want to look at verse 11. Bless all his skills, O Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hands. Bless all his skills and be pleased with the work of his hands. This is how he was blessing Levi. And then he says about Benjamin. He's asking God now to bless them. He says, let the beloved, this is in verse 12, about Benjamin, he said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. And verse 13, about Joseph, he said, may the Lord bless his land with the precious dew from heaven above and with the deep waters that lie below. Verse 14, with the best the sun brings forth and the finest the moon can yield, with the choicest gifts of the ancient mountains and the fruitfulness of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness and the favor of him who dwelt in the burning bush. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph and on the brow of the prince among his brothers. In majesty, he is like a firstborn bull. His horns are the horns of a wild ox. And with them, he will gore the nations, even those at the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and such are the thousands of Manasseh. Just think about what Moses was saying there to Joseph as he asked him to bless. He's asking God to bless him with the precious dew from heaven above. Bless the land that he lives in. These are ways that we can actually bless one another and encourage each other, that we can ask God to bless where they're at, where people are at. Just to bless their land. You know, I think it's pretty ironic. There's many times we can find all the faults. We know everything that's wrong with someone. But to find blessing. To find words of blessing. And here, I'll explain it this way. Many of you heard me talk about the body, soul, and spirit. And one of the things I think of when I think of people speaking life into each other, or speaking death, one of the things I think of with speaking death is natural. The natural body is going to die. Okay, and it's going to be buried, and it will be no more. It'll go back to the earth. So the natural thing to do is to speak death. It's natural. It is not spiritual. It is not a God thing to speak. I mean, it's not a natural thing to speak life. It's a spiritual thing. It must be from the Spirit of God to speak life into someone. Because if you don't have the life within you, you don't have the concept even to speak life into someone else. You must have it within you first. So to be born again by the Spirit of God and allow that Spirit to send the messages to your mind, your will, and your emotions, that we take the messages from our spirit, and with that we can speak life. But if we take it from the world around us and through the flesh, we will speak death. Now, turn to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And here's where Jacob is prepares to meet Esau, and he's so afraid. And what did Jacob just do? I mean, Jacob had literally stole the blessing from his brother. How important is a blessing to you? How important is it that someone would even bless you, that you would even receive a blessing from the Lord? How important is it? And to Jacob, it was important enough that he would lie, cheat, and steal for it. And I'm not telling us to do that. I'm just saying this is what happened. It was so important back then. And I often talk about a father's blessing with that. But just as you look at this here, we want to start in verse 9. I want you to hear Jacob's heart as he cried out to God, because Esau was coming to kill him because he had stole his blessing. Okay, starting in verse 9. Then Jacob prayed, O God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. I want you to notice he's pleading with God. He's saying, who said to me to go back and do this? Who said to me to go back to my family? Who said to me that I'm going to be prosperous? Who said that? And he acknowledges it then. He said, you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. But if he would have listened to all the thoughts that believe that went through his head, he would have doubted that that was even possible. In our lives sometimes, we can get caught up in so many things that we can almost doubt, literally doubt, who we are. Who are we? We can doubt that God knows every detail about us. We can really start to doubt, except we turn back to the facts of Scripture and understand who God says we are and that He blesses you. Now I want to go to verse 22. And this is where Jacob wrestles with God. And I want to read a couple verses there in Genesis. It's Genesis 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up, and this is after, there, you can read the rest of it for yourself, but he had sent everybody else across the river, and anyway, he was by himself. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And I want you to think of it, he didn't just touch it. He literally ruined his hip. Okay, Jacob walked with a limp. Then in verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And then in verse 31, it says that he went on with a limp from there. I wonder, how much does a blessing mean to us today? Would you wrestle with God all night till he ruins your hip? Would you walk around trying to explain to people that I've been blessed, but I look like I've been retarded, or something's wrong with me? Would you be willing to do that? To be blessed by God? Imagine Jacob trying to tell people, no, this happened, God did this to me, but he blessed me. And people would think that you are cursed because you're walking with a limp. Do we wrestle with God to be blessed by God? Are we willing to wrestle with God for that blessing that comes from God? Or do we just want to live life? Whatever happens, happens. Now turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. I can't help but think how much Jacob must have struggled trying to explain to people what it was like to wrestle with God all night and walk there the next day and the rest of his life with a limp. He went on from there with a limp. And people look at him and say, something's wrong with you. And he says, no, I've been blessed by God. Hebrews 10, a call to persevere, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Let us encourage one another even all the more as you see that day approaching. One of the reasons we're afraid to bless people or someone else is we're afraid that we're going to condone the things that they're doing that we don't agree with. We're afraid to bless someone because we may condone what they're doing that we don't agree with. But let me ask this. If we speak words of death or words of life, which do you think calls someone to God quicker? Which do you think calls someone to repentance quicker? Words of death or words of life? Words of life will definitely call people to life. Words of death just kill. And it's natural. It's our natural tendency to speak words of death. It really is. That's our natural tendency. But as we look into our spirit and as we sense what God is calling us to, that we can speak them words of life that come from within. Matthew 12. We won't turn there yet. Then I want to have an exercise here this morning yet. But Matthew 12, 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And it says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. And verse 37 is a catch in Matthew 12, verse 37. It says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words, you're released from condemnation, and by your words, you can be condemned. The words that you speak to someone else, by your words, you can be set free, or by your words, condemned. And this morning, I had to think, everybody said it was going to be a smaller crowd, and I was thinking about this as far as a blessing. And I want to turn to Numbers 6, and read of what I call the priestly blessing. I think a lot of Bibles, mine says that. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And I want you to think of the words that are in there. You can turn to that. Numbers 6. The words that are in there, as you think of what he's saying, can we do that to each other this morning? As you think of the words that he says here, and I want you to catch it. Okay, the Lord is starting in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, in verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now, verse 27 is a real catch here. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. I want you to hear God saying that. He says, if you put this, my name, on the Israelites, I will also bless them. That's a double whammy, and I probably shared this before, but think about it. As we are able to put God's name, bless someone in the name of the Lord, God can also bless them. It frees him to bless them also. That's a double whammy. It's not like you have to pour out all the blessings. You just bless them in the name of the Lord, and God will also bless them. That's powerful. That's powerful if we think of it in that way. That's what he told Moses and Aaron here, that if you will do that, then I will also bless them. I believe that can carry on to today, where if we are willing to bless each other, God can also bless them. I'll give you a little story, because sometimes we get worried about that we're condoning what someone's doing, so we're afraid to bless them. We were at a prison chaplain's a big meeting they had down in Columbia, and there was a Muslim chaplain was retiring. Anyway, one who was in head of the Muslim religion in the prisons. And I remember that they had a big to-do there anyway, party or whatever, and different people were going up to this guy, and they were blessing him. And I'll never forget, one of my friends from Gospel Express there went up to him, and he says, "I bless you in the name of the Lord." And I was like, wow. And somebody challenged him later, said, "Why did you do that? That man's Muslim." And he said, "But if I bless him in the name of the Lord," he said, "God can do with him what he wants." He said, "I'm not holding any condemnation." He said, "That's up to God. Can we bless him?" He's not condoning what the Muslim chaplain was doing. He's not condoning his religion. He's not condoning anything about him. He simply blessed him in the name of the Lord, releasing them to God. Releasing someone to God and allowing God's blessing to come. That's powerful. But, you know, one of the things that I want to make clear this morning is that when you do that, you're not condoning their lifestyle or their or whatever they're involved in. If someone's involved in something, bless them in the name of the Lord and allow God to bless them. Because God's blessing, as we understand it, in God's blessing, he can bless them how he wants to. It's complete. God knows everything about them. We don't. So we release them to him and allow him to do that. So this morning, here's what we want to do. This morning, I'd like to just take time to put that into action. And I think what we'll do is we'll have everybody stand, and while the men come over here and the women go over here, and we're going to get, like, I would encourage you, I'm not going to pick the groups. You guys get in groups of four. Okay, let's get in groups of four. And one person take the time to speak life or blessing into the other three and just go around and do that for three people. If we can get in groups of four and just speak life into the other three and bless them in the name of the Lord. If we could do that this morning, that would really close this. And then we'll get back together and I'll just have a closing prayer and see if there's any comments that anybody have on it then. So let's just stand and let's have all the men come to this side and all the women to this side. And girls, mix in. Everybody just mix in with a group. And does everybody understand what I'm saying? Get in groups of four and one person at a time. Bless the other three that are in your group. All right. Does anybody have a testimony? Anybody have a testimony to share about just, not even just about this morning, but if it's something that stood out to you this morning of blessing as you were blessed or as you blessed someone else, or mostly as you received a blessing? Does anyone have something to share about that? I mean, that's, go ahead. What does it mean to you to have someone bless you? You know. Starts in your family, by the way. I encourage you young families at home to sit around and speak life into each other. That starts at a young age. We do that periodically with our family. Just sit around and say, each one is supposed to say a good thing about the other one and just pray a prayer blessing on them. And they're never too young to do that. They're never too young to start. Anyone else?
You feel very good.
That's absolutely. Do you know husbands and wives in the same way? That you bless each other. Do you know as you pray blessings on each other, your spouse will hear things that you ordinarily would not say? It's true. As you plead with God for your spouse, out loud with them, that's an awesome time. Please. I'm amazed at how many people we meet that don't do that, that don't pray together, couples that don't pray together. You know, it's not, and maybe it wasn't taught from little on up, but listen, I plead with you to do that. Couples, pray for each other. Pray with each other. And ask God to bless your spouse. It's powerful. It really is. It's powerful. Anyone else yet? And then I don't want to cut anybody off. Somebody has something they want to share about it yet. But what did it mean? What does it mean to receive a blessing? Here's the thing. This is why I asked that. What it means to you, as exciting as it can be for you to receive a blessing, that's what it means to someone else. It can mean the same thing to someone else. So as you think about it, I was going to share a message this morning about an unloving spirit, and I will sometime. But one of the things it talks about there is that what you believe about yourself is the way you treat someone else. So if you believe that receiving a blessing is a good thing, you can bless someone else. And my prayer is that we would believe that with all our heart, that a blessing is a good thing. That if, as we receive a blessing, it is good. It's right. It's a God thing. And as we believe that and receive that, if we can't receive that, we have no way of giving that. Okay, if we don't know how to receive that, we don't know how to give that. Okay, so that's the importance of it. So next time, I don't know when it'll be, but next time I'll be sharing a message about an unloving spirit and just what all, how that all transpires and goes through us and ruins the fact that we don't even know how to receive blessings and gifts. And if we don't know how to receive them, we don't know how to give them. So I just encourage you that you continue to do that, especially as couples and friends. Friends, when you get together, before you leave, pray a prayer of blessing on each other. Don't just get together for, you can have fun, but as you go to leave, think about it. Pray a prayer of blessing on your friends before they leave your house. There's a lot of things can happen when we open ourselves up to the Spirit of God and be willing to do that. It can change the entire atmosphere of a church even, or even just an entire atmosphere of your home. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you so much for life and life-giving words. And God, today, I just pray a blessing on each one that came out here today. Lord, would you bless each one of them? Would you make your face shine upon them? Would you be gracious to them? And Lord, yeah, give them a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we would ask for your blessing to be upon them as they leave from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.